Hello, everyone. My name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm thrilled to be your host tonight for the last in a series of budget engagement sessions for the City of Mississauga. Joining me this evening are Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 6 Councillor Ron Starr, and Ward 7 Councillor Tipica Demerla, along with members of the City's leadership team. Before we hear from our speakers, let me start by explaining how a budget engagement session works. Right now, residents from all over Mississauga, including Ward 6 and 7, are answering their phones and connecting to the discussion. We will hear from the mayor and councillors shortly. They're here with other city staff tonight to talk about the city's 2022 budget. After that, it'll be your turn. You will have a chance to ask your questions of the mayor, councillors, and staff, and to raise issues that you think are critical to Mississauga's 2022 budget. You can get in line to ask a question at any time by pressing star 3 on your phone keypad. You'll then be put through to an operator who will take down your question and put you in line. For those of you joining us online, please type your question into the question field. If you have a question about the 2022 city budget but don't get a chance to ask it during our session, tonight you can send it to the following email address, budget@mississauga.ca. That's budget@mississauga.ca. Throughout this session, we will also be asking you questions in the form of quick polls. From time to time over the hour, I will read out a question and some multiple choice responses, and you will be able to use your keypad to respond. Here are a few things to keep in mind when you ask a question tonight. When you press star 3 to ask your question, you'll be routed to an operator who will ask you to provide your name and the nature of your question. Please try to keep your question as brief as possible. There are a lot of people on the line, and we want to try to get to as many of their questions as we can. Remember to make sure your question is about the 2022 budget and priorities for next year. Finally, if you don't feel comfortable asking your question live, you can tell the operator that you'd like to have your question read out loud by me, the moderator. And remember, you have a few other options to provide your feedback, both by email and through polling questions throughout the evening. Again, my name is Jody, and I'm excited to be your moderator for this budget engagement session with Mayor Crombie, Councillor Starr, Councillor Demerla, and staff from the City of Mississauga. It's my job to keep this conversation moving smoothly and to make sure we get to hear your opinions and have as much discussion as possible. Before we start getting to your questions, I'd like to invite the mayor and councillors to say a few words. Mayor Crombie, what would you like Mississauga residents to know about the work going on to prepare the city's 2022 budget?
Thank you, Jody, and welcome and thank you all of you for joining us this evening. First, I want to recognize the incredible efforts of all of you, our residents, in helping us navigate the pandemic over the last 18 months. By following public health measures and, of course, by getting vaccinated, more than 81% of our eligible residents in Peel 12 plus have now received both doses of the vaccine. And this has been so critical in protecting our hospitals and schools and ensuring that we don't see any more of the blanket closures that devastated our businesses over the last year and a half. If you had told me 2 months ago that case counts would be where they are now, I don't think I would have believed it. That's because in July and August, case counts were rapidly rising and it looked as though this fourth wave was going to completely overwhelm us. But we've been able to limit the impacts. And the single biggest reason why is because so many of you went out to get the vaccine. The reality is that we still have challenges in front of us. We're not out of the woods yet. But I want residents to know that we have a strong recovery plan in place to help our city recover and build back to better. Tonight, I'm joining you to share information on the city's budget and to answer your questions. Despite the challenges of COVID-19, our work never stops to build a more prosperous, sustainable, and forward-thinking city. As we answer your questions on the 2022 budget, you will see that our city is strong, and that 2021 forced us to bend, but because we've always been a lean, fiscally responsible city, we didn't break under the pressure that COVID-19 placed on us. And at the same time, we realize that money is tight and residents and businesses are struggling to make ends meet. Throughout this pandemic, we've done what we can to support residents and businesses, from deferring property taxes to waiving payments and late fees and temporarily offering free transit to make life easier during those challenging times. This year's budget will be a particularly important one as we continue to work to recover from COVID-19 and build back to better. I want to assure you that we're doing everything in our power to design a budget that is balanced, keeps taxes competitive, keeps services running, and minimizes any impacts to the taxpayer. Everyone understands that these are challenging times for everyone. Excuse me. And while some of our focus has had to shift to deal with COVID-19, our priorities for you, our residents, remain the same. And they are delivering the right programs and services, demonstrating good value for taxpayer dollars, maintaining our infrastructure in a state of good repair, and maintaining our current service levels with no material increases to service levels in 2022. And of course, our COVID-19 recovery plans as well. Over the last year and a half, through thoughtful conversations and consultations, we've had the opportunity to hear from many of our residents, our stakeholders, our resident associations, and of course our business owners. And we understand that COVID recovery, especially as it pertains to budget management, means something different to everyone. We've captured those thoughts and ideas from our previous engagements and are looking forward to sharing more about this process and, most importantly, continuing our conversation with all of you. Although recovery will be our primary focus in 2022, as a young city that is growing up fast, we have other important priorities as well. This includes continuing to build a global city for creativity and innovation with vibrant, safe, and connected communities. City projects that are currently underway to help us achieve that goal include the Huron-Ontario LRT, the light rail, which will bring fast and reliable rapid transit to the cities of Mississauga and Brampton along the Huron-Ontario corridor. Shovels are in the ground and work is steadily progressing. Improvements to the Lakeshore Transportation Corridor, including the Lakeshore BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit, a 2-kilometer stretch that will run from the Etobicoke Creek to East Avenue. We're also evaluating options to improve the experience for people traveling along Lakeshore Road and Royal Windsor from East Avenue to the Oakville border. We also have a strategy to transform downtown Mississauga into a vibrant, urban, complete community, a place to live, to work, to learn, to be entertained, to invest, and to raise a family, and most important of all, a place to choose to be. It's also important for us to look ahead and invest in the future to ensure Mississauga continues to be a great city with a high quality of life that residents enjoy today. We understand the importance of appreciating the unique characteristics of our city's well over 20 villages and communities. In Ward 6 and 7, we have East Credit, Credit View, Arendelle, Credit Woodlands, River Grove, Fairview, Cooksville, Huron Park, and Gordon Woods. These are more than just dots on a map. They are complete and thriving communities where residents and visitors go to shop, catch an outdoor concert, dine out, or go on a walk to explore our beautiful trails and neighborhoods. As we continue with our recovery, I have no doubt that the communities in Ward 6 and 7 will come back stronger than ever before. I understand the need to keep the neighborhoods of Ward 6 and 7 safe, protected, and thriving. And that's why understanding how the city builds and determines its budget is critical. The budget process is transparent and democratic. As residents, you have a say in how we develop it, either through your elected representatives or by getting directly involved in the process. And that's why we encourage you to stay connected and engage in the process. We want to hear from you. Your ward councillors are here this evening to answer your questions. From Ward 6, we have Councillor Ron Starr, and he'll be speaking shortly. And from Ward 7, Councillor Deepika Demirla. The city's leadership team is also here to answer your questions, including Paul Mitchum, our city manager and chief administrative officer, Sherry Lichterman, our commissioner of corporate services and chief financial officer, Andrew Whittemore, our commissioner of planning and building, Jody Robolos, acting commissioner of community services, Jeff Wright, commissioner of transportation and works, and Jeff Jackson, our director of finance and treasurer. Before I turn it over to the moderator, I'd like to invite the councillors, Councillor Ron Starr and Councillor Deepika Demirla, to offer some opening remarks. Councillor Starr, why don't we go to you first?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. It's a great opportunity this evening to discuss all the concerns and what we're doing as a city with all of the residents and the taxpayers. It's an important event this evening because we want to listen to you all, and we need your input. We have had an unusual 2 years so far, and this is affecting all taxpayers throughout the country, but we want your input. So we're listening when we want to be able to take part in your concerns. Thank you.
And over to Councillor Demirla, please.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. I want to welcome all of the residents of Ward 7 who have joined this important budget discussion today. I encourage all of you to ask questions. Be bold. Ask what's on top of your mind. What is it that you want to see for your street, your community? Because when you ask those questions, then I, as your counselor, know that these are the priorities of my residents, and that allows me to advocate for those items in our budget. So use this opportunity. The mayor is listening, fellow councillors are listening, the city manager and all of the leadership team is also listening. So this is your opportunity, residents, to let us know what's important for you in the upcoming budget. I look forward to listening to you. Thank you.
And back to you, Jody, back to our moderator for our first question and poll.
Thank you very much. A reminder to our listeners tonight, to residents of Ward 6 and Ward 7 and any other Mississauga resident who may be joining us this evening, you can press star 3 on your phone keypad at any time, and that's how you get into the queue to ask questions of the mayor, councillors, and city leadership this evening. If you prefer to have your question read aloud rather than you asking it live, you can ask for that as well. Anyone listening to us online can type a question into the comments field, and we'll be able to see that and ask it of our panel this evening. Just a reminder that star 3 on your phone keypad. We're talking about your priorities tonight as the city prepares the budget for 2022. And in a short while, we'll get to those live questions. In addition to hearing questions directly from you, we have the ability in this budget engagement session to do quick polls. Let's do one together now. I'm going to ask a question and then read out a few possible answers. You choose the one that best reflects your opinion by pressing the number on your phone keypad that corresponds with your answer. Please listen to all of the answers before you make your selection. Here's my first question. Of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. And for parks, green spaces, and trails, press 5. Again, that question is, of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. And for parks, green spaces, and trails, press 5. We'll have another poll question for you later, so look for that coming up in a few minutes. And a reminder to listeners, we're very keen to hear your questions. Please press star 3 on your phone keypad. That's how you get to speak to an operator who can help you get into the queue and ask the question live of the mayor and councillors with us this evening, or we can read your question aloud for you if you prefer. We are going to go to our first question of the evening. It was submitted online, and it's the following, Mayor Crombie. Can you provide an update? Oh, my apologies. I'm reading the wrong one. How is the city managing the deficit from the pandemic? Mayor Crombie.
Well, that is an excellent question to kick off our budget session. Let me say that Mississauga is strong. We are a fiscally responsible city, and we have to always remember that cities are not able and not permitted to run a deficit. In fact, we're the only level of government that is not. So nevertheless, the city has been faced with a significant deficit, both in 2020, it was almost $56 million, and in 2021, currently projected at $64.5 million. But city staff, through our leadership team and through council, have taken measures to mitigate the pressure, and they included a hiring freeze and also the laying off of 2,500 workers as we closed our community centers, our rec centers, our libraries, cultural facilities, arenas, etc. We cut all our discretionary spending, and of course we deferred some of the capital spending as well. That to say, we did appeal to the provincial and the federal government, and we received safe restart funding to mitigate the operational deficits that we faced. And this was a tremendous help, not only to Mississauga, but also to every large municipality across the country, particularly if you had a large transit system and were incurring huge losses. Some of the reasons was the free transit that we were offering. And I'm going to ask our city manager, Paul Mitchum, to add anything I may have omitted, please, Paul.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie, and really just a few additional comments to the points that you've made during the first part of the answer, and really to look back and to let the callers know that really during the past 18 months, in addition to dealing with COVID, we've worked really hard to maintain services to the public, at the same time to protect the public and employees from COVID, all the while working to reduce costs to offset the revenue losses that really were the driving force behind the large budget gap for both 2020 and 2021. So in addition really to what the mayor has outlined, we have taken a few other steps that occur to me. We have redeployed staff, for example, to essential frontline services such as enforcement. We have and continue to review all requests to fill vacant positions. And I have asked the leadership team to focus on cost reduction and, where possible, to accelerate good new ideas moving forward. But more than anything else, we've also transitioned to working from home. And had great success through a work-from-home program. And one of the things that I would mention really has been our ability to approve development applications for the development community within the city. And in 2020, in fact, we were successful in virtually doubling the number of submissions that we approved, all the while using electronic means, virtual public meetings, and so on. So working from home has worked for us, and we've been able to provide a good customer service to the community. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to the moderator for the next question.
Thank you very much. Listeners who are joining us tonight are encouraged to press *3 on your phone keypad, where you'll get a chance to speak to an operator and then ask your question live of our panel this evening. If you're listening to us online on the website, you can type your question into the question field, and we will be able to ask it live on your behalf. Our next question was submitted by a resident of Ward 6, and the question is as follows. Can you provide an update on gypsy moth spraying? Is it a priority this year?
That is an excellent question, and before I pass it off to Councillor Starr, and I know Councillor DeMerla will want to respond as well, this is a significant issue for many of the wards in Mississauga, not just Ward 6, but Wards 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 9, etc., even 5. So, Councillor Starr, would you like to give the resident an update on what the plans are? And I know that staff are preparing a report for Council. Councillor Starr, and then Councillor DeMerla, please.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. Yes, and certainly areas in Ward 6, particularly the older areas with the older trees. I mean, we have trees there that are 100, 150 years old, and we've seen the impact and the decimation. We've heard your concerns, by the way. I've made personal trips many times to the areas that have been affected, and council has directed staff to come forward with a plan for aerial spray in 2022. And we are preparing that review, and they are going to report to council in November, identifying the potential spray areas and the cost. And we've spent a lot of time so far locating all those specific areas throughout the city, not only Ward 6. And just so you know, that the egg mass scraping and monitoring is still continuing throughout the fall, and residents are certainly encouraged to report any issues online and scrape the masses off their tree if they can. Information on all of this is on the City of Mississauga's website in the Parks and Forestry section. And if there are any further comments or suggestions, please let us know. We'll certainly keep you informed during the presentation after the November presentation and let you know exactly the course of action we're going to do. Thank you. It was a great question.
I don't know if Councillor DeMerla or our Acting Commissioner Jody Robolos wants to respond.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to also reassure any residents who may be calling in from Ward 7 and are concerned about the gypsy moth that I will be advocating 100% on your behalf, and I really have my fingers crossed that, it will be a budget item and that come winter next year that we will be doing the spraying as required. And as Councillor Starr said, I await the report in November to which will discuss what the options are, and we'll see where Council is. I know Council is very, very supportive of the Gypsy Moth program, as is the Mayor, so I'm very hopeful, and thank you for the question.
Thank you very much. I'm going to proceed to our next question. It was submitted by a resident online from Ward 7. I'm sorry, and before I get to the question, I just want to remind our listeners, press star 3 on your keypad on your phone, and that's how you'll be able to queue to ask us a question live. You can also submit questions through the comments field if you're listening to us online. Sorry, so back to the question from the Ward 7 resident. And it is as follows. I'm very interested in the planned Cookeville Library and Community Center. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
So this is very near and dear to Councillor DeMerla's heart, I know. She's very keen on the community center amenities for the Cookeville area. So Councillor DeMerla, why don't you explain what the plans are?
Thank you so much, Mayor Crombie. And I feel that, and I know that staff also agree that as far as the library goes, Cookeville needs a new, larger library yesterday. So I'm working with staff and to find innovative ways to expand the Cookeville Library. It's something that's top of the agenda and definitely working on that. And then there's the larger issue of course, a community center. I would very much like to see the community center in Cookeville. It is in the plan, but it is a little bit further out than I would, as your counselor, like. So it's something that I hope to be working on to, a community center will be built. That's not the question. The question isn't if, but more around when. And I will be trying my best to bring that date forward to the extent that's possible. Once again, the main challenge, of course, in Cookeville is land. But we are looking at some very, very innovative options to see what we can do. So I am working on that file, and my commitment is it's not a question of if, but more a question of when, and I want to move that when as early as possible, because both the community center and the library are really lacking in Cookeville, and I want to see that happen. So I don't know if Paul or Sherry or Jody want to add anything to that. Thank you.
Jody Robles? There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Crombie, and thank you, Councillor DeMerla. And Councillor DeMerla is correct. In the 2019 Future Directions Master Plan, it did make some recommendations on further study for Cookeville and looking at when the population would expand in Cookeville, providing additional amenities. Just to add, in the meantime, our recreation staff through the Councillor's office have reached out and have sent some surveys out to find out from residents what interim recreational activities they would like to participate in and identify barriers to participation currently. That information is really useful for us and will help us to be able to put into place some short-term solutions while we work on a long-term plan to bring some community amenities and a permanent home for the Cooksville Library to the city. So thank you, and back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. If you're just joining us, my name's Jody Shanoff, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm joined tonight by Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 6 Councillor Ron Starr, Ward 7 Councillor Deepika DeMarla, and members of the city's leadership team. They're here to answer your questions about the city's budget for 2022. Remember, you need to press star 3 on your phone keypad, and that's how you'll get a chance to ask a question of our panel this evening, either asking your question live or having it submitted to be read aloud by me. We look forward to more of your questions. Our next question was submitted online from a resident in Ward 6, and I will read it. It says, I've noticed quite a bit of speeding in Ward 6. I've heard you mention traffic calming. What is that, and do you plan to implement any new technologies?
Great question. I'm going to pass it on to Councillor Starr 1 second and then over to our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright. But let me say that during the pandemic, we saw a lot of additional speeding and revving of engines, etc. And we did work with Peel Regional Police on the ERASE program and even locally at the city through our Transportation and Works department on traffic calming measures. So I know this is something Councillor Starr cares deeply about and he's heard from his residents. Councillor Starr, why don't you talk about what else is being done and any other measures that are being taken?
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. Yes, and just to repeat, this is a citywide problem. It just didn't happen overnight, but certainly with the pandemic, we've recognized that there are a lot of areas that we have to take a look at. And basically, traffic calming is all about safety and reducing speed. And that's what we want to do to keep our residents safe in Ward 6 and across the city. And these are physical measures. I think most residents have probably seen the speed humps and the line markings and even the simple things like slow down signs. And the physical ones are the ones that are seem to have the most impact, and the traffic calming is working in a lot of specific areas. In particular, in Ward 6, we've had 3 or 4 different areas that we put in the trial basis, and the comments were all very positive. So it's the potential installation of future traffic calming measures that I think will work even better. There's other methods that we're working on as we speak today. We also have the cameras that are going to be changing location throughout the city, and we're going to have better enforcement too. So this is a citywide issue, and I thank the resident who called the question in. We're doing our best to make sure that we do have a safe city, especially for our children and the seniors. And back to you, Jody.
This is Jody, the moderator.
Jody, it's Mayor Crombie. I think Jeff Wright wanted to make a few comments as well, our commissioner.
Right. Oh, hi. It's Jeff Wright here. And I think Mayor Crombie, Councillor Starr really summarized the traffic calming program quite well. Described, the types of installations that are put in and which have the most impact on, as Councillor Starr pointed out, slowing traffic down. And that's really the key here and the whole intent of our traffic calming program. And so we do have a traffic calming policy that really outlines the process by which we go about receiving requests either through the local councillor's office or via 311, and the analysis that we undertake and ultimately would recommend changes for the installation of traffic calming to council in conjunction with the local councillors. So I think Councillor Starr has outlined it quite well, and he also did touch upon a new avenue, which is the automated speed enforcement, and that is an area where we've seen some initial success in slowing traffic down, and one that we do see growing over the next little while as we look to expand that program. So great comments so far, and back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. A reminder to listeners tonight, we want to hear your questions. Please press star 3 on your phone keypad, and you'll have a chance to ask any questions you have about priorities for the city's 2022 budget. Ask them live of the mayor and our panelists this evening, or have them read out loud if you prefer. Our next question was submitted online, and it is the following. What is the city doing to help businesses recover from the pandemic? Madam Mayor.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'll start it off, and then I'll ask our Commissioner of Planning and Building, who also oversees our Economic Development Office, to supplement what I have missed. Certainly the one thing that the city was not able to do was to provide financial assistance, financial support. So that, of course, came from other levels of government who have the fiscal firepower, like the federal government, to provide this kinds of supports we saw. But of course we were there to assist our many small businesses, medium businesses, in any way we could. So with outreach and engagement during the pandemic, we continue to engage with them and our business community and our stakeholders, including the business associations and our education institutions, to solicit their input and develop and adapt our recovery efforts to the pandemic. And we created the Mississauga Economic Resiliency Task Force. We held business roundtables, and we conducted one-on-one business consultations. Communication, we prioritized providing accurate and timely information to our business community on public health guidelines, helping our businesses access the range of support programs that were available to them from other levels of government. And some of the key initiatives included, of course, the COVID-19 Resource Center Relief Portal, the health and safety webinars in partnership with the Region Appeal, the Mississauga Board of Trade and other groups as well, and also some business training and development session. We had targeted programming that really helped our businesses as well. In consultation with our economic stakeholders, we helped develop separate recovery plans for our small business community and broader industry sectors, and they included 42 actions to support our local businesses and help them recover through each phase of the pandemic, including Mississauga Made, which was promoting the Buy Local, the temporary outdoor patios, which we hope that'll be a permanent feature, business programs, including temporary permits to facilitate safe business operations, business license relief for up to $300 per business in license relief for some business sectors, let me say, tax deferrals, and those are the business sectors that had been closed down during the lockdowns, tax deferrals for both 2020 and 2021, Digital Main Street and the Shop Here program, which supported digital technology adoption, small business advisory services, which were free one-on-one consultations with industry experts, starter and summer company programs, which were business startup training and grant programs, and sector development programs, which were one-on-one business consultations and business roundtables to help establish businesses problem solve and expand in Mississauga. So we're obviously always trying to attract new businesses as well. And we didn't stop even during the pandemic, and also had some measure of success. But I'll ask our Commissioner of Planning and Building, Andrew Whittemore, to supplement anything I may have missed. Andrew?
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. And of course, the EDO office works very closely with your office. So you've done an amazing job talking about all the various initiatives we've undertaken. One thing that we should be very proud of in Mississauga is that a key strategy of the EDO office is to ensure that we support and retain our existing businesses, which we've been incredibly successful at doing over the course of the pandemic. And as the mayor had mentioned, we implemented a number of programs. One, I think, has been incredibly impactful, which has been the Digital Main Street program, which we've supported over 250 businesses locally and allowed them during the pandemic to pivot to online services, which was incredibly helpful to them. One of the big initiatives that we're working on for the downtown is an innovation hub, which is really about providing a platform for startups and for businesses that are looking to expand. We're very excited about that, and we think that this will be a key initiative for moving the city forward and through the recovery period. And with that, I'll turn it back to the mayor, to Jody.
Thank you very much. We're taking your questions tonight on the city's 2022 budget, your priorities, what you're curious about. If you dial *3 on your phone keypad, you can queue into the line and then ask your question live of the mayor and our panelists this evening. Those of you listening to us online, please type your question into the comments field and we'll be able to see it and ask it on your behalf there. The next question was submitted online and it is as follows. I am not comfortable putting my children indoor for recreation. Will the city be promoting more outdoor activities this fall and winter? Mayor Crombie.
Thank you very much for the question. And of course, our community centers run some camp programs, of course, and are safe. But if the parent is concerned, then of course there is the opportunity for outdoor recreation and sport as well. And why don't I ask our commissioner, our acting commissioner of community services, Jody Robolos, to respond, please.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. And we do recognize there's a need for outdoor and indoor programming, and everybody isn't comfortable and everybody's coming at things from a different place. We do just want to remind residents that we have decreased capacities within our community center programming, so we're happy to speak to any resident about the safeguards that we have put in place indoors. And our programming team is currently working on expanding some programs outdoors. Obviously, that's weather dependent. Certain times of the year are easier to run outdoor fitness classes and outdoor children's programs. But at this time, we're really encouraging our residents to continue to take advantage of our trails and park systems. And what we did last year for the first time is we maintained some of our outdoor amenities open to the public throughout the winter session. And these included things like our tennis courts, our artificial sport fields. And so on nice days, residents could also, you know, choose to participate themselves, or we do some programming where we partner with local businesses to get them to run outdoor programming in our spaces as well. So please continue to follow the city's Recreation and Parks website and social media pages where you'll find information for this year. So thank you, Mayor Crombie, and thanks for the question. And back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. We're asking residents of Ward 6 and 7 this evening to submit their questions about the 2022 city budget. And the mayor and councillors and senior leadership from the city are here to answer those questions for you. That's *3 on your phone keypad or into the comments field if you're listening to us online, and we'll see your questions submitted there. Our next online question is the following. What financial assistance programs are available to seniors, many of whom are on fixed incomes? Mayor Crombie.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, we care so deeply for our seniors and have so much respect and admiration for them. And I'll kick this off and then I'll ask our Commissioner of Corporate Services and our CFO, Sherry Lichterman, to comment as well. I will say that there is a tax rebate for low-income seniors and low-income persons with disabilities. And this is an annual rebate. And, of course, there's an application process and the applications have to be submitted by the year end, by the end of 2021. And each year the rebate amount is adjusted. For instance, this year it's $445. There is also outdoor maintenance subsidy, and this is an annual subsidy that needs to be applied for each year, and it's applicable for garden work, including the care of lawns, plants, trees, yard cleanup, and snow removal, including that nasty windrow. Subsidy year is considered for the period of January to December, and applications must be received by March 31st of the year following the subsidy year, and the maximum subsidy is $350. So there's a lot of information online at mississauga.ca, services and in programs, etc. And there's also active assist programs for low-income seniors who want to use our recreation centers as well. Sherry, would you like to add a few comments to this question, please? Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Mayor Crombie. I think you covered off some of our key seniors assistance programs here at the City of Mississauga and the region. province and federal government also have programs to offer. We have compiled them all on an easy-to-access, easy-to-read web page at our city website. So if you visit mississauga.ca/seniors, that will take you to a page that has links to all of the great programs and things to do in Mississauga, but also a section on financial assistance. And so that's mississauga.ca/seniors. Hopefully that answers the question, and back to Jody.
Thank you very much. We're inviting callers to dial *3 on your phone keypad, and that's how you'll be put into a queue so that you can ask your questions live of the mayor and the councillors from Ward 6 and 7 this evening, your questions about the 2022 city budget. Our next question was also submitted online, and it's about something I don't want to ask about, but is the city prepared for a significant snowfall?
Oh, no, snow. Well, of course we're prepared. I just hope not to see it soon. And the contract is set up, and we are prepared for any significant snowfall to meet council's approved service levels and our minimum maintenance standards for timelines and to complete the work. We have almost 500 pieces of equipment to assist with the operations. Now, our staff monitor the weather 24/7, and we implement a two-shift model for our in-house staff this winter, and we will provide a more proactive and a faster response time for winter events. And I'm going to ask our Commissioner Jeff Wright of Transportation and Works to describe what the standards are. Jeff, when do we salt and when do we remove snow? And I'm sure our residents will be very interested in the benchmarks for each. Thank you. Over to you.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie. And you're right. We are prepared for winter maintenance, and we're ready for a significant snow event. You know, with the weather today, it seems unlikely that that's going to happen over the next couple of days. But, you know, I have seen snow events, and I think we've all experienced them earlier than we wanted them to be. So, yes, we are prepared. And, you know, you asked specifically, Mayor Crombie, to elaborate on our service level. So our major roads, including on-street bike lanes, bus stops, priority sidewalks, and select multi-use trails are cleared first to maintain accessibility and to allow emergency services as well as Mississauga transit vehicles through My Way to operate. This is then followed up by residential roads in terms of the priority sequence. So roads and on-street bike lanes are salted if the snowfall is less than 5 centimeters or about 2 inches, and then they are plowed and salted if the snowfall is 5 centimeters, you know, 2 inches or more. And, you know, depending on the amount of snow that we get, residential roads are cleared within 24 to 36 hours after the end of the snowfall. And so that just kind of gives a bit of an overview with the service levels, when salting versus plowing operations take place, and when residents can expect their streets cleared. So back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. A reminder to our listeners, don't miss your chance to ask your question of Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Councillor Ron Starr, Councillor Deepika DeMerla this evening about the city's 2022 budget. You can dial *3 on your phone keypad and be put into the queue to ask a question. Our next question came in online. Those are for the listeners who are listening through the website, and you can type your comments into the comment field and we'll see your question there. And this resident asks, what are you doing about the increasing coyote population in Mississauga? Mayor Crombie.
You know, I can speak on this issue for 10 minutes because it's such an important issue, and we are seeing increased sightings of coyotes, but of course we don't track them, and they're transient, so they do move around. I think I'll see if the councillors want to respond to this one, and then we have our Commissioner Jeff Wright of Transportation and Works that can speak to our standards, as well as what Animal Services is doing with respect to coyote management, and also the enhancements to the management program and strategy that council has approved. So do either of the councillors want to respond to this one, or just shall we ask Jeff?
I'm happy to jump in, Mayor Crombie.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Sure, unless
yeah,
one of the
no problem.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a great question, Mayor Crombie, and certainly one that we get a lot, which is, you know, what is the city doing about coyotes? And, you know, certainly during the pandemic, you know, residents are at home more, I think, than they've traditionally been. And so are a bit more observant about, you know, activity in their neighborhood, whether it's road safety or animals, wildlife, which happens to be coyotes. So we've seen quite a bit of increase in the reporting of coyotes, you know, a more than a 50% increase in Mississauga. And so earlier this year, Mississauga Animal Services took a report to council, which was to really present, you know, an enhanced coyote management program. And what this program, Mayor Crombie, deals with is a focus in three primary areas, and which with objectives around, you know, wildlife feeding regulations, which has an impact on the coyote population and interactions with coyotes. You know, certainly looking to reduce the amount of feeding of coyotes. The other one was, you know, how the Mississauga Animal Services would respond to unwanted coyote activity. So, you know, there is an escalation process in place that deals with everything from, you know, seeing and reporting coyotes, and we do have a online coyote sightings interactive map, and we encourage residents to go online and report sightings for coyotes, because it does, you know, provide a bit of a heat map, which kind of outlines areas of significance. And so we do have an escalation of, you know, sightings to encounters to incidents, and then, you know, potential human incidents, and, you know, what we don't want to see is human interaction with coyotes as well. So, you know, we do have a response protocol around all of those different areas, but a lot of it does rely on education as well, community education about, you know, coyote safety tips. What do you do if you encounter a coyote? How do you protect your pets from coyotes? And, you know, how do you can really, you know, interact and live with urban wildlife. So we have a pretty robust practice around coyote management, and a lot of that information is available, and I would encourage residents to go online and check out our coyote sightings interactive map. So a bit of an overview, and back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. We're pleased to take resident questions tonight on the city's 2022 budget. You can dial *3 on your phone keypad to queue and ask your question live of the mayor and councilors and senior staff who are here with us this evening. Those of you listening online on the website can also include your questions in the comment field, and we'll ask that live. We have a question submitted online from KR, and the question is as follows. Are there public details regarding the spend of the 2021 budget? As the mayor mentioned, there were changes given the pandemic. Mayor Crombie.
Yeah, it's a great question. And let me tell you that council is very focused on our budget, and we start the process in June, in fact, and we had a budget session last week as well. And we want our residents to stay informed on the budget process. And there really is a lot of information as well online. There is a budget allocator there, and you can see that at mississauga.ca/budget. And we welcome any comments, feedback. You can send your councillors an email with your questions, or just send it directly to budget@mississauga.ca, and there's information all over the city's website, and we will continue the budget process later in November and early December, and we, particularly the mayor, likes to have the budget passed in the fiscal year, before the fiscal year begins. So at the end of this year, I want our budget passed for next year, and you can watch the meetings, the live stream them on your website, or watch them on the website as well. And they are archived. So why don't I ask Sherry to talk about our budget process as well. Sherry, over to you.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie. I think the question was about 2021, so how we're tracking this year. And as you mentioned, we did just meet as a budget committee last week, and we brought a report as of June 30th with a forecast to the end of 2021. So if you visit mississauga.ca and search budget committee, you'll find that report from last week. But you'll see that we are anticipating to have significant revenue impacts all the way through 2021, over $100 million. But we've been able to mitigate that with over $40 million in savings through, you know, various temporary staff savings, savings in utilities, reductions in costs. So we're going to see about a $64 million variance at the end of the year. And thankfully, we do have safe restart funding from the provincial and federal government to assist us with that for 2021. So hopefully that helps to answer your questions about the 2021 end results. And again, you can get more information at mississauga.ca. Thanks, and back to Jody.
Thank you very much. Listeners are asking questions live of the mayor, councillors, and senior city staff this evening by pressing star 3 on your phone keypad. We're also welcoming questions submitted online through the comments field if you're listening to us through the website. The next question came online, and it is as follows. Climate change is one of the biggest issues facing our world. What is the city doing to address climate change? Mayor Crombie.
What a great question. And the caller, the resident, is absolutely correct. Climate change is one of the most pressing issues of our time, and we need to take action now. And everyone needs to do their part, including municipal governments. And listen, cities, we're not immune from climate change. We see the effects frequently with increased flooding, extreme heat, extreme cold, and it affects our infrastructure. And so we have to adapt to the new reality. And I can tell you that our council has embraced the changes that are needed. We joined the covenant, the Global Covenant of Mayors in 2018. We did declare a climate change emergency in June of 2019, and we passed our first comprehensive climate change action plan also in 2019. And there are two goals of that plan. The first one is mitigation. We want to mitigate our GHGs by 80% by 2050. And the second goal is adaptation, and that's, of course, to increase the capacity and resilience of the city to withstand and respond to any future climate events. To address the first goal, which of course is mitigation, is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and we're particularly focused on the two largest emitting sectors, building and transportation. Our buildings are the largest source of our community emissions. Some immediate examples of actions that we've taken are include the designing of a home retrofit program, updating our green development standard for new developments, and implementing our corporate green building standard for our own buildings. Emissions from the transportation sector are the second largest source of GHG emissions in Mississauga. And some immediate examples of actions include the approval of the greening of our fleets, hybrid vehicles, especially our hybrid buses, a greening of our equipment, including piloting electric lawn vehicles and equipment, installing public EV charging stations, and buying low emission buses for our transit fleet. So, and to address the goal of adaptation, to ensure that we do adapt as a city to the changing climate, we need to focus on the advancing our green infrastructure and our stormwater management efforts. Some of these efforts include the 1 million tree program. We want to plant 1 million trees, installing low impact developments right across the city to emphasize conservation and the use of on-site natural features to protect water quality. And we implemented a stormwater charge in 2016 to generate funding for ongoing stormwater system management and investment. And to our Acting Commissioner Jody Robolos, Commissioner of Community Services, do you want to add anything to that, Jody? Over to you.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. I think Mayor Crombie, you know, put it really well in that climate change is not just a city of Mississauga problem. It's a problem that everyone and everyone across the world is had some focus on. And we really want to encourage our residents to do as much as they can individually as well. So I just wanted to mention that we do have a new online carbon calculator under the Project Neutral program for the city of Mississauga. And it really helps residents learn how to make better choices themselves. Again, the city, we've invested a lot of resources, and we've really looking at our own infrastructure, and we really want residents to be able to do the same so that we can work collectively towards a better understanding of where our carbon emissions come from. So I encourage all residents to look at the City of Mississauga's online carbon footprint calculator and reduce your own carbon footprint. Thank you, Mayor Crombie. Thanks for the question, and back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. Karen submitted the next question. She sent it in online, and it's as follows. The past 2 years, I've still had leaves falling past the last city leaf pickup date. Is there a way that you can extend the pickup period? Is it costly to do so? Mayor Crombie.
Yeah, this is a great question, and how relevant for us now as, you know, fall is ending and we're heading to winter shortly and there's still leaf collection. And how many times have we experienced the first snowfall and haven't completed our leaf collection? So, Jeff, why don't you talk about our standards when the leaf collection program it's already begun, and when you anticipate it will end and what our standards are. So over to our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie. And yes, we are getting into the fall vacuum leaf pickup program. And so, you know, we sit down and take a look at the city where leaf collection is provided and look at historical data on what the best time is to go out and to do leaf pickup. So we break that down into three different categories designated by color. So we have a yellow zone, a blue zone, and a green zone. And you can take a look at our online route map on the city's webpage to look at which zone you fall into. And within those zones, we do two separate pickup times. And that's designed for an early leaf drop, but also a secondary leaf drop. So in that yellow area, it's October 25th to the 29th, and then again November 15th to 19th. In the blue zone, it's November 1st to 5th, and then again November 22 to 26th. And in the green zone, it's November 8th to 12th, and then the secondary one is November 29th to December 3rd. And so we do our very best to ensure that all the leaves are collected during those zones. And if for some reason a street gets missed due to a number of on-street parked vehicles or some other sort of temporary measures that would preclude us from going out and picking up leaves, certainly call 311 and we'll certainly do our best to go by and pick up those leaves outside of those selected windows. So there is a little bit of flexibility that's in there, but that is the overall scheduled pickup time. And one of the main factors that influences that is it's trying to find that blend between once leaves start falling versus when snow starts falling. And, you know, once that transition heads over to snow, unfortunately, we have to abandon the leaf pickup, change out the equipment to put snow plows on and take off the leaf collection equipment, and then get out there and do winter maintenance. So it is a bit of a blend, and certainly we do our best to work with the community and work with the local councillors to make sure that we hit all the streets and don't miss any during the leaf pickup season. So back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. We're coming to the end of our time together this evening. There have been so many great questions and robust conversation tonight. Mayor Crombie, do you have any closing thoughts to share with our audience regarding tonight's budget engagement session?
I sure do, and I think this time flew by so quickly, and I just saw that there was one more question on salting of our sidewalks and roads. Frank, I know you're up trying to ask that question. We're almost out of time, but, you know, call me and we can talk about it. But the quick answer is if the roads are salted, if snowfall is less than 5 centimeters, 2 inches, and plowed and salted, if snowfall is 5 centimeters, 2 inches, or more. And, yes, we do have priority roads and sidewalks, of course, to clear, make sure that the bus stops are clear. So everyone tonight asked some such thoughtful questions, and it was a great discussion. Over the last year and a half, it has taught us so much about resiliency and how we come together as a city, as a province, as a country. And in coming together, we can overcome any of the challenges before us. But we have a lot of work to do before we ring in that budget of 2022. My fellow members of council, the leadership team, and all our staff are committed to remaining strong and focused and determined to make the remainder of this year a big success. There are many ways you can stay informed in the budget process. I mentioned some of them earlier, but certainly please follow along on our website, mississauga.ca/budget. And if you have any questions, you can email mayor@mississauga.ca or budget@mississauga.ca or your councillor's office. And we encourage you to keep up to date on the budget discussions by following the city on the website or on Facebook or on Twitter. Very easy to do. And finally, you can watch upcoming budget committee meetings, which are live streamed on our website at mississauga.ca and also archived for your future viewing. So thank you one and all for staying with us till 9 p.m. Thank you for taking the time to join us for this very important budget engagement session. Thank you and have a lovely evening. Good night.